Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's Monday morning and we have a busy agenda this week, so let's get right to it with Marcus Mabry, International Business Editor for our partner, The New York Times. Also, Jonathan Marcus is with us, a diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Jonathan, let's go to you first and talk about Vice President Joe Biden. He has arrived in Israel. He's supposed to be speaking with Israeli leaders to talk about issues, everything from Iran to peace negotiations between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And he's also tried to repair relations between Israel and the United States. President Obama is suffering in Israel some of the lowest approval ratings for any U.S. president there. And in fact, Jonathan, we haven't seen a lot of movement from the Obama administration in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine, have we?
Well, we haven't. And I think that's one of the criticisms that many people have made of this administration, in a sense that there's been a little bit of an own goal. It started off very well with the president's Cairo speech, trying to have a reset relations with the Muslim world. That, of course, to an extent caused some unease in Israel. But, of course, what really stymied the peace process was this insistence on there being an Israeli settlement freeze. It had never been a condition for talks starting before. The Palestinian side rightly, I suppose, said that if the president wants this freeze, then that's a condition now for talks restarting. So in a sense, George Mitchell, the US envoy, has had to dig the administration out from under to get at least, we think, which will probably be announced today during the vice president's trip, an agreement for proximity talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians, not direct talks, but kind of a shuttle diplomacy, if you like, between them. Rather ridiculous when you think that Jerusalem and Ramallah are about 10 minutes up the road from each other. But that is a small step forward, not a great one.
Well, we did get, I guess, hopeful news from the Palestinians saying that they're willing to reopen these talks. That's good news, right?
Well, it is good news, but on the other hand, I think one has to be rather pragmatic about all of this. The situation in both the Palestinian camp and the Israeli camp is not at the moment terribly conducive to a peace deal. Indeed, there are many people who think that the idea of a two-state solution is rapidly running into the sands. There are people now proposing other ideas, some kind of large interim solution, which would fall short of a final peace deal. Some people argue, certainly on the Israeli side, that that would be more realistic. But the real questions, I think, remain: how much ground are the Palestinian leadership, the Israeli leadership, prepared to give in search of some fundamental solution to this problem?
Okay, Marcus, let's come back to Washington here for a moment. Senator Chris Dodd is hoping to bring his financial reform bill onto the floor of the Senate this week. And here's what he had to say about it on Friday.
Congress and I, my view, and particularly this body, must pass comprehensive, meaningful reform of our financial system. And my hope and intention is to do everything I can in the waning days of my service after 30 years here to achieve that goal.
Well, first, let's talk about its chances to pass. Senator Dodd has been trying to collect votes in the interim time somewhere behind the scene. Do we have any idea whether or not this bill is supported?
Well, we think it will pass in the same way the jobs bill, after a great deal of drama, far more drama than should have been necessary because of, unfortunately, the kind of frozen politics, the bitter partisanship in Washington, it finally did pass. We expect the same thing will happen with the finance reform bill. The question is going to be, and as Dodd said, maybe this would have been better for health care if Senator Ted Kennedy had been alive. But as Dodd said, he's willing to end his service. He's really willing to end his service with getting this through, and he's willing to do everything he has to make sure this goes through. The amazing thing is, and again, I think it points to our politics more than the reality of the policies. The amazing thing is, after the worst financial catastrophe in history, at least in all of our lifetimes, we still have not gotten reform to make sure that doesn't happen again. It's kind of extraordinary, given how much the system almost went over the cliff, and how, in the end, the last administration, this administration, rallied to save it, to do all necessary to save American capitalism, as it were, that we have not seen any type of reform that matches the magnitude of that crisis. It's kind of extraordinary.
Or that matches the public anger over it. There's a couple provisions in this bill that have disappeared in backroom dealing. One of them would have made stockbrokers and insurance agents act in the best interest of their clients, as opposed to doing stuff to sell products that may not have made money for their clients. That is gone now. How important was it, and where did it go?
Well, for many, I think from a consumer point of view, it's incredibly important. And to think about the fact that, you know, they're not working in your best interest, it's kind of...
Yeah, it's very odd.
An extraordinary underline of the reality of the situation. But that is the reality of the situation. They are working for their employer, not for their clients. And that's not going to change.
And it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Oh, that provision. Okay, well, let's move on to Greece now. The Greek Prime Minister is supposed to meet with President Obama tomorrow in Washington. We know, of course, that Greece is embroiled in a major financial catastrophe right now, and they're struggling to get themselves out. So, first of all, if Greece defaults... How important this is for the United States?
Well, you know, it's not terribly important for the United States, other than the fact that what we've seen, and we saw this with the subprime mortgage crisis here in the U.S., which became a global crisis. The problem is crises tend to become global. So this is not a direct issue with the U.S. It's much more of an issue for the Europeans, especially for those who use the euro currency, which was at one point flouted as a possible kind of alternative to the United States dollar as a global reserve currency. Well, right now, the euro's not looking so hot. Greece's not looking hot. As the Greek president meets with the president of the United States, he'll be meeting with the American president, but his audience will be much broader than that. It'll be really international investors and investors located here in the U.S., telling them that Greece is not going to default. If it were to default, that would be incredibly bad news for the euro, and it's some question about whether or not the euro would be able to survive that.
Marcus Mayberry is the international business editor for our partner in the New York Times. Jonathan Marcus, one last quick question for you, because in response to some training exercises going on in South Korea with the U.S. troops involved, North Korea has put its army on full combat alert. Doesn't North Korea kind of do this a lot?
Well, it certainly saber rattles a good deal and makes a great deal of noise. Obviously, diplomatically, all the efforts are at the moment to get the North Koreans back around the negotiating table in the so-called six-party talks, trying to negotiate away its nuclear activities. But, you know, these things are worrying. Clearly, incidents can occur, and there have been incidents between the North Koreans and the South Koreans in the past. So it's something to watch, but pretty much par for the course as far as the North Koreans, I think, are concerned.
Thanks. Jonathan Marcus is the diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the BBC. And let's turn the agenda over to our listeners real quick. We're always interested in what is on your agenda for a week. Give us a call and let us know what your agenda is, what you look forward to, what do you keep on your schedule and keep your eye on. Give us a call at 8778-MYTAKE or go to our website, thetakeaway.org.